Thank you, Father God, that we get to open your word and be in your house. I pray that today our hearts will be as sunny as it is outside, and that we will have peace and joy in all that we do. Thank you that you allow us to pray in your holy name. Amen. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're still in the submit to one another out of reverence for Christ section. It started back in chapter 5, verse 21. Really ties together with everything that's going on in Ephesians as far as we get to be the body of Christ. We get to be the family of God. And in doing that, learning how to get along with one another is kind of important. This whole love concept, really where it falls apart more often than not, is with the people we're closest to. And learning to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands and wives, children and parents, employees, employers. It's important that in community we understand how to place ourselves in a position to benefit and defend those around us that need that help. And so that's a section we're in. Today's text, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it seems pretty simple. But one thing I'd like to emphasize today, because I don't see a lot of little children here, but I do see children of God. And each one of us is a child of God. And if we understand this concept in the bigger scheme of things, obeying God is really what children should be doing too. It's one of the commands, was children were to obey their parents. And it comes with benefits. It's like you'll get to live longer. You know, like parents might say to their child, do you want to live to see your next birthday? Obedience is kind of important. So I think one of the places I want to go for today is Proverbs. And much of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings that Solomon had for his children. It's a kind of a wisdom text written for his kids and specifically for his eldest son, who didn't listen any more than he listened to his father. It seems like we get really good advice and then we have to go make the same mistakes our parents did so we can learn the same lessons that they tried to help us not have to learn. But that's the pattern that we often follow. In Proverbs chapter 6, if you're following along in the Pew Bibles, we're on page 976. Proverbs chapter 6, well actually 977 is where I'm starting. Verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. There's quite a bit there already, and there's even more in this section. Interesting that this is a section that's talking about a specific command. It's like not to commit adultery. And if you think about the source of who's writing this, I don't know if he ever committed adultery or not, since he pretty much married every woman he ever met. I don't know if that would be considered adultery afterwards, because he had between his wives and concubines of 1,000 women. And some of those were maybe more for political reasons, but it seemed like, you know, he would just with women all the time, marrying women. And Solomon had a little bit of a downfall in that area. And I think he's trying to help his children not make the same mistakes that he did. If you look at some of these words here, bind them always on your heart. If you have a command and you just hear it, Scripture keeps teaching us, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers also. You get a command, and it's from your father, from your mother, take it to heart. Don't just let it be in your head and hear it and say, yeah, that's nice, I think I'll go do what I want to do, but take it to heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. and when you awake, they'll speak to you. So if we're constantly meditating on the words that our parents are teaching us, the word of God for us as followers of Jesus, our Father's words are going to be useful and helpful in guiding us and directing us if we meditate on them, and they're available when we're in that time of temptation. This command is a lamp. This teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. And it goes on in this passage in that realm. It's kind of important that whatever the commandments were, that the area that you may be struggling in the most, you've probably been told by somebody, oftentimes your parents, what you should do. And then if you take it to heart, if you learn to live that command, that good advice, it makes a difference. It smooths life out for you. In chapter 7, so if you're in Proverbs in the Pew Bibles, just turn one more page, page 978. Again, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Do we honor our parents enough to actually think that the things that they say are something to be remembered and followed? Do we honor God the Father enough to believe that we should follow and obey His words? Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. So, some pretty straightforward recommendations by, again, Solomon's just trying to tell his son, you know, pay attention. He's still in chapter 7 here on that same topic of watching out for the adulterous woman. It went quite a long time. It apparently was something on his heart, and he wanted it to go on to his son's heart. Going back to chapter 4 of Proverbs, chapter 4 of Proverbs, page 973, verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. How are we going to get understanding? It's, well, we pay attention to the instruction that we've been given, and we take it to heart, we listen to it, we learn from it. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father. Okay, he's saying, yeah, I'd like you to listen to me. You've seen how I lived. You probably don't approve of a lot of the things that you see in me. But I was a son, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me. So here's what his father said. Now, do you all remember who Solomon's father was? It was David, King David. So here he is. He says, take hold of my words with all your heart. So this is what David's teaching to Solomon, and Solomon's telling his kids about what Dad used to tell him. Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her. Love wisdom, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. You have to want it. If you want to be obedient to your parents, you have to desire to be obedient, and you have to have some respect and some love. And this whole concept of family, if we think about families that are functioning well, there's love in those families. There's excitement when they're around each other. There's an ability to not just say, you better do what I tell you, and expect it out of respect, which is nice, but there's also this love, this bond. It's like parents love their kids so much that the kids know that they're loved. The children love the parents so much that they're willing to follow the instruction that they're given. Those kind of relationships don't always exist. I think most of us are aware that much of society right now has pandered to small children, not instructed them, not trained them in the way that they should go, not taught them how they should act, how they should react, and not given them the strength of character that's necessary. And so we watch society falling apart around us. And it's not surprising when we look at leadership and see that they can't even get along. Again, this week, you know, there was something going on in Washington, D.C. that it's like it grieves my heart. I don't know if it grieves the hearts of the people doing it or not, but they can't even get along well enough to be in the same room together. And so since they disagree with somebody, they're just going to not show up to that meeting. And then when they do get together, they yell at each other so much they have to have a closed session so that they can get really down to brass tacks and yell more than they'd be able to yell if it was open to the press and being filmed. That's how our top leadership in this nation is functioning right now. And it's not just there. It's happening in state legislatures. It's happening in local town councils and city councils and, you know, school boards. All over the place, there's dysfunction. And what is that about? Well, people aren't willing to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in fact, there's a push against even having Christ mentioned in any of these places. And we as followers of Christ, do you know that the Bible speaks to us about that? It's not like we can point fingers and say, look at how terrible they are. It's like, okay, we're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be able to bring some sense of Holy Spirit into community. And if we're living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, and demonstrating to the world how it can be done. But you know, all these things I'm talking about that are going on in Congress and in city councils and everywhere, they happen in churches too. They happen in families. I remember growing up, I never liked going to church board meetings. I don't mind here. It's kind of fun. Board meetings here are great. Everybody seems to like each other. It works pretty well, and praise God for that, and I hope that never changes. It's important to love one another. You can have differences of opinion. That's great. That's okay. But do it with respect. Do it with love. And in the end, everyone finds a way to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I've seen that going on here in Skycomish Community Church. But growing up, I would go to board meetings, and two or three people would always decide they wanted to take control of something. It almost always was the same two or three people. And they would stir up strife, and they would try to get people to join them on their side. And they would try to whatever decision was going to be made, they would push back and fight that. You know, that happens in families, where husbands and wives get to the point where there's so many little wedges in the relationship that instead of trying to find ways to remove those wedges, we pound on those wedges and create division. And it happens. So when I see children being disobedient to their parents in the store and screaming at their mom and dad, I know that a strong ruling fist isn't going to solve the problem. It's going to take love. And how does that come? How do we learn to love if we don't have Jesus in our hearts? If we don't have the one who is love dwelling within us? We've got a broken world. The song that Kathy chose, is the world around us broken? It is. It's kind of, we need to learn to seek wisdom, to get wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom, is this: get wisdom. Now, being obedient, having wisdom, having understanding, following the teaching of those in authority over us is not always easy. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. You know, they're right there. If you find a good college to go to, classes to take, books to read, it's worth an investment. It's worth an investment of time. It's worth an investment of other resources, if it takes all you have to get understanding and to get wisdom in a relationship, nothing in your relationship should be so important that it overcomes the desire to understand one another. Getting understanding is not just having head knowledge. Understanding would be the ability to really empathize and relate to those around you, in your family, in your church, in your community. Cherish her, cherish wisdom, and she, wisdom, will exalt you. She'll lift you up. Embrace wisdom, embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. And that's the wisdom that King David gave to Solomon, and he tells us about it here. So he continues, Solomon does, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along the straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers." And he continues on talking about different things that should be avoided and paths of righteousness that should be followed. And this wisdom text is saying, first of all, you need to want wisdom. You need to desire understanding. And then as you gain understanding and wisdom, you will be honored. You'll be lifted up. You'll be recognized as somebody that is worth listening to. Oftentimes, the ones speaking the most, and I say this as a pastor who probably speaks more than many of you, the ones speaking the most have the least to say. We have to be careful that we're not just listening to somebody because they have the microphone or the platform or the ability to talk over everyone else. When certain individuals speak, it's worth listening. And oftentimes it's the quiet ones, the ones that have sat back and watched and observed and recognized that they kind of see what's going on. And they gain understanding and they get a perspective. And so when they do speak out, it's like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's a special thing that you can grasp onto and hold onto. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, it also includes knowing when to not speak. Today's text, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's a sister passage in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Same author, just written different time, a little bit different perspective. Obey your parents in the Lord. When I look at that, I think, okay, well, I've got an out then, because what if mom and dad aren't in the Lord in this moment? You know, I don't think that they're listening to God very well, so I don't have to obey them. It's like, well, no, obey your parents in everything. Now, there may come a time where you have to disobey parents if they're asking you to do something evil, wrong, inappropriate, but finding a way to still respectfully submit during that time. This whole concept of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Children submitting to parents. But you know, as parents, we submit to our children as well. We place ourselves in a position to defend and help our children become the best people that they can be. That's part of giving instruction. That's part of training in righteousness. In John chapter 14, page 1647 is where we'll be. 1647 in a few Bibles. Starting with verse 15, This is Jesus speaking. If you've got one of the red letter edition Bibles, this is in red. If you love me, keep my commands. And then he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. He's going to send Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands. And part of that benefit of that is Holy Spirit will come and guide you and direct you. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. How many people have we met that can't believe in God because they can't see him? But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And then verse 21, the beginning part here. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. If we love God, if we love the Father, we'll keep his commands. As children being asked to obey their parents, that's kind of hard to ask them to do that if they don't love their parents. That love is still an important piece of all of this. You know, loving your neighbor as yourself, loving the Lord your God with your whole heart. If we don't do that, the rest of it falls apart. But whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So that's kind of how you can tell who's a follower of Christ and who's not a follower of Christ. Obedience. It's the very best way to show that we believe. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I love that Holy Spirit can remind us of what we've read in Scripture, of what's been said to us by God. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. This is page 1863 in the Pew Bible. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So if we have faith in God, if we're in Christ, we can be world changers. We can overcome the world. We don't have to look at the world and point fingers and say, look how terrible the world is. We can look at the world and say, there's a Savior. We can look at the world and we can, like Jesus, have compassion on them. When I see people that can't get along with each other, I don't think most of the time they wake up in the morning thinking, how can I be divisive? How can I be a strife stirrer? How can I be somebody that causes division? Most of the time I think people would really actually like to get along and find ways to work together. Now, if we're selfish and greedy, the way that we try to get along and make things work together is everybody has to follow my way. I'm seeing a lot of that. If we're willing to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, there's a whole lot of give and take. There's a whole lot of, this isn't working the way we're doing things. How can we come together? You've got some good ideas. I've got some good ideas. Can we make them go together and have even better ideas? There's a pandemic in the world. Why would we politicize that and fight over it? Why can't we find a way to come together and say, hey, there's got to be a good way to fight this pandemic and reopen the economy and love one another and keep everybody safe. How can we do that? Let's come up with best practices. as school teachers, that was a kind of a buzz phrase, best practices. You look and see what's going to work well. When you're trying to teach a child how to read and you're trying a method and it's not working, for that child, that's not best practices. You need to come up with a different approach. If we're in family or in church community or larger community or in government finding that what we're doing isn't working, why would we just double down and do more of it? You guys treated me very poorly, and now I'm going to show you what it feels like. It's my turn at the trough. I've heard all these kind of comments, and it's like whoever's in control, you know, might makes right. And it's like, but you didn't like that when you weren't the one in power. Why would you want to do that when you're in power? And so finding ways to come together. If we can't model that, there's going to be an election. It's kind of already gotten started. Many people have already voted. How many of you have voted already? Got it mailed in and taken care of. It's like when this is over, hopefully there will be a victor, one side or the other. Okay? I hope it doesn't end up like the Al Gore mess, where it goes to courts and everybody tries to figure out who's what and all that. I don't think the court is designed to try to solve who won an election. I think that should be we the people. And if it's a clear voice, whether it's just a little bit clear or enough clear, if we can accept whoever is in power. Do you know we as followers of Jesus Christ need to pray for those who are in authority over us? We need to pray for those leaders. We need to pray for those governing bodies, those individuals that do you want their job? I don't. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with it. If God places you there, praise God, and then we pray for you. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of we need to live as victorious followers of Jesus, following his commands, demonstrating his love, and recognizing that we can overcome all that's going on around us. And with the power of God, there's no reason that we have to assume everything's going to be terrible and awful. We've got a friend in Washington, D.C. right now. He doesn't live there. He lives in Idaho. He felt like he needed to go to Washington, D.C. He's going to be today on the steps of the Supreme Court with a whole lot of other people. They had communion at the big plaza gathering, whatever, back there yesterday. Today they're going to have a worship service, and they're just going to worship God. They're not there for any other reason. They're not going to try to break any windows or burn any cars, or, you know, they want to love each other and worship God. And he says there's some miraculous things happening. He's seen people meet Jesus for the first time. There's positive things happening. He felt like he needed to go there out of obedience. Whatever God is calling us to do, we don't need to give up. We don't need to shrivel and hide. I think that there's going to be an opportunity during this next few months of this year. We just got a couple months left. To make 2020 one of the best years ever, so it's remembered for positive, wonderful things and not for all the crazy stuff that's going on. Just turning the page in your Bible, 2 John just has one chapter. So some people say 2 John 1:6, other people just say 2 John 6. Either one works. Verse 6 of this only chapter of 2 John. This is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. That command of love, it's like it comes down to that for everything. So when we look at the text for today, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents have already been addressed in the previous verses. Husbands and wives, loving one another. That's kind of important for kids to see, so that can be modeled, so that they know what love is. They know that dad's willing to lay his life down for mom. They know that mom is willing to place herself in a position to support and encourage and defend and lift up dad. They see this positive submission to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so when dad says, hey, can you go and make your bed? Or mom says, come on down here and help me with breakfast. The kids think, yeah, this is fun. I like being around these people. They're nice people. They love each other. They love me. I think I love them too. And then there's positive things going on. Now, if that's always rosy and stuff, I doubt that it's real. Okay, there will be conflict in family. It seems to happen even in the best of families. You know, the cutest babies still cry and poop and make messes. And we do that in family, but, you know, loving family finds a way to, it's like, oh, look, baby needs changed. Oh, baby needs love. They're crying. Time to pick them up and pat them on the back. Maybe they just need to burp. Sometimes it's something that simple. How many of us, when we're feeling like we're ready to lash out at somebody, could just use a hug? Sometimes it makes things better. Obeying your parents shouldn't be something that's a burden. In fact, it says in Scripture that following God's law is not burdensome. Obeying parents in everything because it pleases the Lord and because it's right. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Help us to realize that we still are children, and help us to have childlike faith and just continually lean on you and rest in the knowledge that you're going before us, you're covering us, and you're caring for us. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen.